Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have Dr. Gabrielle Manto with me again, and we're going to chat about this topic that involves working with your spouse. And so a lot of you know that Kyle and I do not work together in the same office. We work together building our little empire. So we still have lots of meetings, still need to have some rules within the way that we do things. But I wanted to bring on Dr. Gabrielle because her and her husband Trey work together in their practice. And I kind of want to just chat about what that looks like. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, so pumped to be back. I feel like last time we had a blast. So it feels good to be back on here. And of course, talking about working with your spouse, which I think is such an interesting conversation because if you are married, you're already working with your spouse, right? It's good, hard work, very rewarding work, but talking a little bit more about what it looks like to work in the same walls, outside of the walls in different businesses, and then, of course, in marriage.
Yeah. So how did you guys have that conversation? Did you know you wanted to practice together because you guys knew you wanted to serve families?
I think so. When we were dating and both in school and Trey was in his associate position, I think it started with a lot of tough, hard conversations, even like how we wanted to raise a family, what we wanted our marriage to look like, how did we envision practice separately and did it involve the other person? What our values were, our mission, goals, all that, and then brought it to the table. But it definitely requires a lot of hard, tough conversations, even where we wanted to open our office, right? Because Trey's from Texas, I'm from the Northeast. So what that looks like.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of hard conversations in the beginning, I think set us up for success for where we are right now. But yeah, it had a lot of Zoom calls because we did long distance to start our relationship. So a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of our time together was talking about this.
That's Kyle and I too. We've joked about this before on the podcast, but like all of our fights when we were dating in the beginning is because our techniques were so different. And I was like, oh my God, this is never going to work. We're never going to be able to be together because we are different chiropractors. And now I see how naive and like immature that was. But when you're in it and you're thinking about like building this life and this practice of your dreams, it's like your way or the highway, you know? And we both are very, very headstrong and we both love our techniques. Like I'm Pete's prenatal. He's like active release, rehab focused. And then you just go to philosophy and how different the philosophies are with that. He wanted to raise a family the way that I want to have a practice. So he understands the benefits of it. But the way that he wanted to practice was so different. And we just decided early on, like, why should I have to sacrifice what I want? And why should you have to sacrifice what you want? How about we just have our own practices? And at the end, like they both feed into the family. They both support the family. They both support our individual goals, you know? So I think often people think that they have to do one or the other. But I do think it's important, like you said, to have that conversation. I work with so many couples that they really haven't had that conversation. And then one of them ends up bitter or resentful because they're now working in a practice that's their own that they don't actually like.
Right. Yes. So even so, like Trey and I, yes, we have the same mission, definitely serve similar of the same ideal clients. However, our techniques are very different. How we approach patients or practice members is very different. He attracts a certain practice member. I attract a certain practice member. It's very different, but we are on the same mission and goal. And I think what a lot of our conversations even were in the beginning is like, Trey's not afraid to call me out on my crap. It's like same thing for him too. And I think like you had just mentioned, Kyle only wants you to succeed. He wants you to like all of your goals, your personal, professional, business, all of that. And it's really cool having that person that you're married understand that so that they can, again, help you listen to that too.
But yeah, and help you support that. It's so funny. I didn't know until we went to ICPA that Trey, you know, he was talking with us. And by the way, I was so proud of him because he was so outgoing that weekend. I'm like, Trey, this is the most that I've talked to you in 2.5 years, I think. But I didn't know that he did a different technique. And then I was like fascinated by it. I had never really heard of zone technique. But it also shows that you can have diversity within the same practice because you guys can take care of practice members differently, but you still have this mission and this goal and this marketing message. More than anything, it comes back to one marketing message. We serve babies, mamas, and postpartum.
Right. Yes.
And that's the thing that I find with maybe those couples that are building a practice together, they just have completely different ideal clients. And I think it's an important conversation to have, because if you don't want to be in a pain-based model and that's the practice that you're in, then it's really hard to switch to pediatrics prenatal. I know people that have massively successful clinics that do every kind of modality you can think of. And then they also have a little subset where they do prenatal pediatric, but they started with one marketing message in order to get busy, you know? And when I'm working with clients and it's like, hey, how do you want to go from 25 to 50K a month? You got to nail down your marketing message because you're confusing the marketplace right now.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think a lot of what chiropractors are preaching today is that if your spouse isn't on board with your peds prenatal nervous system focused practice, then like, get rid of them. And that's not the case. We know that chiropractic is so good for so many different things, like car accidents, PI, like all of that. It is okay if you guys are, if it's not the same. Like just surrendering to the fact, like, it's okay. We don't have to break up this relationship that we have just because we want to see two different people. Like how amazing is it to even prove to the entire universe that chiropractic works in all different facets of life, but it's different. That is okay if your spouse wants to do modalities or wants to do other things in the practice or have a multidisciplinary practice in OTs and be like, that's okay. And I feel like we're now, like students especially, we'll talk a lot to clubs and they're like, well, what happens if my spouse doesn't want to do, you know, this or this, like the same as me? I'm like, that's fine. Let them do their own thing. You can't force
their own person.
Yeah, you can't force someone to do exactly what you want to do, or that is what puts really the strain on the practice and the marriage too. Because what Trey and I are, again, we both made vows to each other. Like I vowed to get to understand you and to, again, push you to the best person that you can be. Our marriage is our priority, right? Mm-hmm. Well, first our relationship with God, but like our marriage to the core is our priority. And then it is our business. So if I do not put my marriage first, then the business also starts to crumble too. And I think so many people get nervous if their spouse is not on the scene, like does not want to practice with how they want to practice too.
And I think it's like having that one shared vision. So that's what I talk a lot about too, is like Kyle and I have a shared vision. We know where we're going. We know what we're building for our family. We know what kind of legacy we're building. We know how we're going to get there. We know his role in that. We know my role in that. We know our children's role in that, right? And so we actually work together even though we don't see each other every day. And I think like you're saying, it's okay to do that differently. Just have a shared common thing that you're working towards and then know how you're going to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So let's talk about for you and Trey inside of the practice, since you guys do work together, how do you really split up your roles and what does that look like?
Yeah. So we definitely have our unique strengths and weaknesses. And a lot of figuring out what that looked like was trial and error. So Trey is really good at patient flow, numbers, setting things up, adjusting, where I am more, my strength would be like community connections, talking with moms, more day ones, like going over the consults, more of that nurturing piece as well. Mm-hmm. And so we balance each other out. However, there have been times, and even, you know, we've talked about this multiple times on multiple coaching calls, Trey also knows when I start to get a little bit burned out, like he can see that. So then we would switch. So then I would be taking care of more patient flow because I can do that too. And he can also do day ones and consults and take more of that energetic piece off of me as well. But we do try to, as best as possible, stay within our strengths and weaknesses, which I think that that helps to build the practice, but also to be said, it's okay if one day he's taking over my roles and I'm taking over his roles too, because any employee that you have, we should be able to do all the same job. Everyone should know everyone's job position too.
Absolutely.
Like figuring that out was trial and error. Be like, hey, this doesn't work for us because I'm in your role. And so just like switching back and forth. And then again, and what we learned from you too is like, why would we improve on our weaknesses if we can just improve on our strengths to be bigger and better and then grow?
And quicker, right? Like when we focus time on our weaknesses, it's like, sure, we can all focus on improving, but there's something about creating momentum, and you're not going to create momentum if you're constantly trying to make everything you're not good at and become good at it. It's like, why are we even wasting time with that? I also think business owners make this mistake often where they think one of them has to be the one to do every role. And if you want to speed up momentum, just outsource shit that you don't actually want to do. Outsource things that aren't bringing you joy. You know, that's the great thing about building. And we talked about this on our WPA call yesterday. A lot of people think that they have to hire a team right away. And that's why I love using you and Trey as an example, is because you don't. Like, you should be able to get over 250 office visits a week, especially if you're practicing together as a spouse couple before you even bring on a CA. If your systems are dialed in, you can do that. And that's just like dives into a whole other topic of protecting profit margin, making sure you guys are making what you want to make before you expand and things like that. But that's what I love about you guys. You guys have figured out this process of working really well together and even knowing each other well enough and having conversations, which I think, again, that could be a whole separate podcast. Not enough couples are having conversations. But even for him to be like, okay, Gabrielle's reaching a little bit of a slump, like the day ones aren't lighting her up the way that they used to. She's done too many recently. Let me take that off her plate.
Right. And this also goes something that we've also learned from you and Kyle is like the communication piece, like knowing Kyle so well, whether it's like human design or other personality things, like, okay, what does that look like? So we can also communicate the same too, because Trey and I are not skipping in this practice, holding hands with like hearts popping out of our eyes 24/7. Like, there are some times where I'm like, okay, we have to put a pin in this right now because we're going to have to like duel it out as soon as this is over or at the end of the day. But knowing how to effectively communicate to him in his style so that he knows, so that things don't linger on, that we can get to the problem, bring the solution, and then crush it from there too. And I think that also kind of goes into like how you protect your marriage as well.
Oh, such a good point. Knowing like marriage is like any important relationship, you can't hold grudges, especially if you work together. And I think that's just part of self-development too. Like I'll work with people now who like get really hung up on things and I'm like, oh, you haven't done enough inner work because this shouldn't be bothering you the way that it does. But that's a great point. Do you guys turn off work when you get home?
Like being honest, no, we don't. Because it's like part of our life. Like how do you truthfully have not figured that out? But there are definitely times where it's like,
I haven't either. So don't worry.
Like, okay, we need to turn it off a little bit and just talk about something else or have fun, you know? But I feel like the more we try to suppress, like, okay, as soon as we get in the door, we can't
don't
talk about
mention the office.
Yeah, and you're like boiling. It's like, I just have to say one more thing. But if you can like say it, communicate it, and then let it go, then I feel like things only grow on. Then you can have still your free time and to do all the fun things.
Yeah.
And, like you're planning time, just you. But like even on our date nights, like we'll talk about work for 15 minutes, but it also lights us up. Like it brings
us exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wouldn't say like, okay, 8 o'clock, we're done. That's not necessarily how
Kyle and I talk about this all the time because people are like, well, how do you just turn it off? And I'm like, who says I do? Like I wake up on Sunday and I check my email and I don't know. Is that a trauma response? I don't know. Am I a psychopath? I don't know. But it gets me excited. I want to know what's going on. Building businesses is really freaking fun. Yeah. And for Kyle and I, we'll both even say like, if we're either one of us are starting to approach burnout, we'll be like, we can't talk about it. Talk about something else. And then we just talk about Jet. And we're like, okay, do we have anything else to talk about other than the businesses or our son?
Yeah.
And usually the answer is no. And that's okay. But like you said, I love this point is like, we will schedule something fun. If we're at a concert or we're out to dinner, like we still talk about work, but concert or like a family fun day or like a beach day or something, if you can put some of that fun in your schedule, it's going to break up the conversation around work because it helps you relax a little bit. It helps you take your mind off of it. So I love that point of just making sure that you're having fun because that's what's going to get you out of your normal daily routine. But there's also nothing wrong with you if it's really hard to shut off your business brain.
Right. Absolutely.
What else do you guys do? So for other than like your natural strengths and weaknesses, what would you say like building your life outside of the office looks like? Who takes on what role and that sort of thing?
Like in our like family position?
Well, yeah, just like, so outside of the business, Trey's the one who's in charge of systems and processes and numbers. Is that your same strength and weaknesses outside of the office?
Sometimes I feel like it switches. Like for right now, we just bought our first house and Trey is doing all of that and like looking at quotes and meeting with what's really going to be our household team while I am working on social media meetings, you know, consults, all of that in the office too. I would say sometimes it switches. Like I would be more of the visionary for our office and he is now more of the visionary in our house.
Home life.
So we're still like figuring that out too, but it's really interesting to see how the roles flip. But also to my previous point too, like we can be both, but in separate environments too.
When you guys are looking at what makes your clinic successful based on your two personalities, what do you think the number one thing is?
Knowing your people, knowing how to communicate. For example, and I know I keep bringing communication up, but I feel like it's so crucial too. Trey and I have very different personalities and we attract a very different person. So the way that I would communicate to someone is going to be very differently than how Trey communicates to another person. But even like we serve a big perinatal pediatric office. So there are definitely low times in the office where like people bring heavy things. Sometimes when they bring in heavy things to the office, they don't want to be coddled or talk about their emotions or sit or unpack like how I would do it. Sometimes they would prefer Trey, who is someone
not
who's
even,
like,
yeah. Just, yeah, not yeah, even like, bring it up or go deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what they want, which I think is really, really cool. Even like little kids in the office, they will attract, especially our little boys too, or our middle schoolers, they would attract more to Trey because they know that Trey's not going to ask. And this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. He's not going to ask, okay, tell me like how you felt in your body today. Tell me a little bit about like how math class was or social language. Where for me, it would be like, okay, let's sit and unpack this. I feel like that is something that's super attractive about Trey where it's like, hey, we're just like super straight to the point too. And I feel like that also balances out. Now, even with our team, there are some things that our amazing front desk team member goes to Trey for versus me for as well. Or even like tough conversations. Another fire is, this is something else too about burnout that I wanted to bring up. Fires happen all the time in business. And so if I put out like three of the last fires, Trey's like, oh, okay, we don't even have to communicate that. It's just like, okay.
It's just like, I got it.
Yeah, I have the next fire. I think matching the tone of your people and their personalities set us up really nicely to grow where people will feel safe. Like people will naturally feel more safe with Trey than with me too.
Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of tag teaming the problems that arise or the inconveniences or the obstacles that arise, because you are so right. There's been times too, even with Kyle and I'm trying to think back. I remember last September, I just had this overwhelming sense of everything was falling on me. And I was like, I can't. I literally let it all burn down. I don't care. It was came off right when we had like switched nannies and Kyle's doctor broke her leg and all of this shit. And I felt like a lot of the extra was falling on me. And I was like, I can't. And he was like, okay, cool. What do you need me to do? Just tell me, you know, because again, we are each other's number one priority. So if one of us starts to falter, it's the other one's responsibility to help pick you up. And I think for us, that's always been like a natural thing for us. We want to see each other succeed and feel good and be happy and excited about what we're doing and what we're building. And so I just remember him saying that even. So for the listeners that are listening to this, that are like, man, I feel like I maybe have some tension or stagnation as we're building this together. Are you guys having open communication about when you feel like you're doing too much or the weight is too much to bear? Are you saying, hey, I actually really need help with this? Because often, especially if you're a doer or an achiever, you're not asking for help. And the beautiful thing about building a life with a life partner and a spouse is that they're there to help you. And I say this all the time. When I send out gifts to my clients who are getting married, I have a couple that are getting married this spring and summer. I always put in my card, like being married is the absolute biggest blessing. Like yeah. I cannot even think of a better gift that I could have for my life than having my best friend a part of my life every single day. And it's something that I think a lot of people take for granted, or they don't actually know the sacredness of how beautiful that is, that like life is hard, business is hard. The fact that we don't have to do it alone is a huge blessing. Yeah. I have a lot of girlfriends that are building businesses and lives by themselves, and I send them so much love because I'm like, that is so hard. Yeah. You know, it is absolutely so hard. And so I think often when we spend a lot of time with somebody, it's easy to nitpick or be like, oh, you didn't do this right. Or it's easy to get into that way of being. But when you come back and communication is your number one focus, then you're able to move through some of those obstacles much quickly or more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, getting a little emotional because marriage is so beautiful and it is literally truly is such a blessing. That's one of the things that attracted Trey and I to work with you is because marriage was still a priority. Mm-hmm. There are so many people in business that you see go through really tough times. And again, marriage is not butterflies and rainbows all the time. We never wanted to end in divorce. And so that is what I think attracted us is like someone who has a strong marriage or just prioritizes marriage is super important to us. But I think it's also really cool because I am the only person that gets to see like chiropractic Trey, entrepreneur Trey, husband Trey. I get to see golf Trey sometimes. And then in the future, I'll be able to see.
Sometimes. not in the winter. Golf Trey's coming soon.
Yeah, well, he did golf yesterday and shot a 99. And I know that's one of his personal goals to get down to the 60s. So I'm like, I guess we got to focus more on that. It's so cool to be that person where I'm like, oh my goodness, I get to see all of these aspects of Trey. Like I get to see him I get a front row seat to every one of those roles. Like, how cool is that? Yeah. Like, how cool is that? And I know, again, back to the conversation piece, we're not afraid to have tough conversations. We're also not afraid to fight. We're also not afraid to put a pin in it and revisit it. We're not afraid. As soon as I start to feel sorry for myself, or I'm like in my scarcity mindset or whatever, like Trey's the first one to being like, don't really think that's the right thing. Or like, hey, like you told me you weren't going to get your feelings hurt if I called you out on this. Like, how cool is it to have someone in your corner who's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's stings to hear, but you promised me that you would too, that, you know? So
Kyle and I had our first fight in probably forever I can remember. And when he listens to this, he's gonna be like, babe, that wasn't even a fight. It was a disagreement. To me, it was a fight because we don't disagree that often.
Yeah.
And I had to travel for work like that evening. I was basically flying out and we were facing like a lot of fires and a lot of obstacles. It's always usually work that gets one of us riled up. And I just remember being so upset because we hadn't had a disagreement. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to leave. And he was the one that was like, babe, it's okay for us to disagree. It's okay for us to fight. If we're not fighting, something's wrong. Not that you need to be fighting all the time, but we are different people. It's okay for us to disagree. It's okay for us to have a fight. It doesn't mean anything, but I think it's a really good point to be like, yeah, it's okay for you to disagree with work in your marriage, in your personal life, whatever it might be, it's going to happen. But it's just like, how do you handle that communication? Are you being kind and are you bringing things to the table that can be resolved, or are you just trying to stay in this tension dissolution when you can really be trying to find a solution together? It's kind of like with our employees. It's like any relationship, right? Are you coming to the table with solutions that are going to help make it better? But I love that point too. What do you think would be the number one thing for students who maybe are listening to this and they're like, okay, well, I'm married or we're going to get married, you know, we're engaged, something like that. I know there's so many students waiting until they graduate to get married now that aren't sure if it's the right decision to work with their spouse. What would you tell them?
I would go over, so I would do your goals, your vision, your mission separately, and then together and see what the other person has on their sheet too. Yes, are you serving the same ideal client? Also, it's okay if you are not. So I know you and Kyle did this too, right? The stair-stepping aspect where it's like, okay, I'm going to open this first while you do this more of this corporate job or stay in your associate position. As soon as this becomes profitable, then we're going to switch. So that, again, we're both reaching our goals separately for the common goal that we have set up together. So I think it has a lot to do with where do you see yourself? How do you envision like your perfect day that we go over so much in like business class or our seven-figure mastermind and WPA and even our startups? Like, what does your perfect day look like and how, where am I included in that perfect day? And then going from there, obviously all the tough conversations about marriage and family values and how we're going to navigate like holidays and all that needs to be part of the conversation because I think that's also intertwined with business too. But I would go goals separate together and then figure out where those puzzle pieces match. And if they match together, then we're like, great. And if not, it's also okay. That's also okay.
And have a conversation of like, how do we make it happen then? Is our relationship a priority? And if it is, what is that going to look like if we're going to take separate paths that get us to our shared goal?
Right. And so if you are a student and you're shadowing offices, you like how a practice operates and your spouse, fiance, wants to practice separately too. We also need to make sure if there's a compromise and you're willing to compromise that and not necessarily have like resentment towards that too.
Totally. Or
like if you didn't want to practice that same way, but said yes to it.
100%. I love this conversation so much. We could definitely talk about this for hours, especially because we both know a lot of people that work together. And for some it works and for some it doesn't. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's just find out what is true for you and see if your spouse or partner fits into that. So if you guys want to hang out with Dr. Gabrielle and I, we have some exciting things that we're doing inside of The Wealthy Practitioner. First and foremost, you should definitely join us inside of our Facebook group, The Wealthy Practitioner. We have lots of conversations in there about building businesses, what that looks like, some of the successes that we're having and things that we like to share with you so you could try inside of your practice, as well as we have the Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator where there are 15 chiropractors that we are guiding and helping build businesses of their dreams. They're having massive success, huge breakthroughs, and we are just so excited about it and we would love to have you guys join us. Gabrielle, thank you for joining me. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.